Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Good evening and welcome to the Coco Express Show for Monday, February 3rd, 2014. Man, February just kind of like just jumped out at you. It just seems like the year just came in and we're already in February. Well, I am just so super excited today because we have an amazing woman on our show. She is a friend of the Coco Express Show. She has been with us. She has been supportive of us. We have had some of her clients on our show as well. So she is just no stranger to the Coco Express Show. And we're going to have her on, and she just has a new book out, and she talks about journaling. However, before we begin that, I promised somebody that I will give a shout-out to them and their show. Kim Hampton has been on our show several times. She is a friend of ours as well and a friend of mine. She is on Mom's Got Game on the Oprah OWN Network. And you should check out the show and check her out. She's also a phenomenal singer as well. She's singing in around town in New York and other places. So I just want you to check out the show. It's really interesting and I enjoy it. Now, getting back to our guest for today. She is the founder of Everyday Coaching. She's a certified life and wellness coach. She is a master meditation teacher and a Reiki master. She's co-written and authored a book called How the Fierce Handle Fear with Jack Canfield. And she also has a website, and it's, you know, your Cake Every Day, which is an amazing website, and she has really interesting discussions on there, and I really enjoy speaking with her, and I enjoy kind of catching up with her on everything, so I don't want to take up too much time. Please allow me the opportunity to bring to you once again, Rachelle LeBlanc. Hey, Rachelle.
Hi, how are you?
I am well, and even I'm going to be even better by the time this interview is
over. Oh, yeah, we both will be. We will both be better.
Yes. So, refresh our listeners' memory because it's been a while since you've been with us.
Okay.
Let them know who you are.
Okay, my name is Rachelle LeBlanc, and I am the founder of the Cake Every Day Coaching Circle. We do have a page on Facebook called Cake Every Day, so feel free to follow us there as well as Twitter. And my website is actually my name. It's RachelleLeBlanc.com. And as you mentioned before, I've been on this journey. I've transitioned into, you know, wellness, balance, healing, and I teach meditation. I'm a Reiki master. I'm currently in school for nutritional therapy. I believe that the balance mind, body, spirit piece is really, really important. And so the nutritional therapy piece is really my body piece, so that in addition to helping people heal on the from the inside out, with the spiritual piece, we can also get to the body because a lot of it is very connected. So that's me in a nutshell.
Okay. Now, you're joining us today because you have had a particular journey that you are still going through, and you are going to share how you've gotten through your journey to where you are now. Now, tell us a little bit about the transition that brought you to where you are now.
Some of it seems like a lifetime ago, but every time I speak about the book, the first book, which is How the Fierce Handle Fear, I'm reminded that a lot of times we go through things not for ourselves, but for other people. Right. So back in the mid-90s, I used to suffer from severe panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And I remember one of the things that really helped me to get grounded and focused was journaling and meditation. So I knew that at that time that those two pieces were going to be a permanent part of my life. And I wasn't sure what that was going to look like until much later. It kind of just, you know, they took their own role, so to speak. But I just knew it was something that I needed to continue to do. And I had no idea how it was going to evolve, but, you know, here we are, you know, almost 10 years later, and they've become not only a part of my daily ritual, but the daily ritual of my clients, and just something that I've really just delved into and helped. It's helped me to grow spiritually, mentally, as well as physically. So the journaling piece, the meditation piece, I love them both so much that I took classes to get certified to teach meditation because I knew what it did for me, and I wanted to share that experience with other people, including my clients. And the same thing with journaling. There was no class, so to speak, but I did write the Your Daily Slice journal because I wanted people to have a platform, and I wanted to share the experience that I have with journaling and how it helped me heal. I wanted to share that with others. So that's where the concept for the second book came from, which is Your Daily Slice journal.
Okay, and I like the phrase that you use, to celebrate a slice of yourself daily.
Yes, yeah, celebrate something about your life every day. And the way the whole concept and the name of the company came about was after, it took me about a year or so to really work through the whole panic and fear and not really understanding what it was and then doing the research and deciding, okay, this is different. And, you know, I read up on the medications. I decided that wasn't the route that I wanted to go. And I have to admit that when I started meditating, it wasn't even on purpose. I had the incredible urge to just be still, right, and listen. So because nothing else was working, I didn't know what else to do. So Spirit was like, be still. And so that's what I did. And in that stillness, I was able to overcome a lot. I was able to get grounded and centered and balanced and begin my healing process. So I told myself once I got through that, it's a very dark, murky place, right? Once I got through it, I was going to celebrate something about my life every single day. And that's where the name Cake Every Day came from. So it's symbolic of life. Cake is symbolic of life. Like you wake up every day, that's cake, you know. And then the icing is, you know, our livelihood, if we're lucky enough to have a job that we like, or you know what I mean. Our sprinkles, those are our loved ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even without either one of those things, even without the sprinkles, even without the icing, you still have cake, so you have to celebrate. So that's where the concept of Cake Every Day came from, finding something to celebrate about your life daily.
Oh, that's excellent. So now what, okay, we hear about journaling, and I've noticed that a lot of people are having vision board parties, and people are really starting to embrace the fact that they need to go within to achieve without outside of themselves. And what exactly is journaling? You know, what is it? What is it? I mean, we know about it, but what is it really?
You know, it's interesting. I think that you could speak to two or three different people and get two or three different answers because it really does represent journaling meets you where you are, basically, right? So some people, it starts off as just a way to vent. You know, a lot of times we have feelings and emotions that we're not clear about, so we want to have a space that's safe that we can say whatever we feel no matter what, right? So a lot of times that's what journaling provides for others, for people. For some people, for those that are, you know, meditating once or twice a day, it's a way to jot down some of the things that come through your meditation. A lot of times we forget. We're in the moment and something, a thought will come and pass and it's, once it passes, it's gone. Not to say it doesn't manifest in our lives at some point during the day, but it's just, you know, sometimes with journaling, you can write those thoughts and feelings down and expound on them. It could, you know, you never know what comes out of meditation. So that's one of the other things. Growth, I've always found, well, as we talk a little bit about my three favorite reasons for journaling, mine would have to be growth, clarity, and gratitude because it provides a space for all three of those things. But journaling is just, if I had to sum it up, it's a safe place to express your innermost feelings and emotions.
Okay. Now, how does one begin? How does one feel, what does it, what compels you? Because I know when we were kids, and you know, when I was growing up, we were told, here's a notebook, write your thoughts down, and just keep that with you, and just keep writing, and, you know, eventually something will come out of it. Yeah, a lot of things came out of it, a couple of stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. But as you get older, where can journaling take you? I know some people, a journal has turned into their memoirs.
Absolutely.
For some people, a journal has enabled them to break free of whatever chains that were binding them and be able to move forward and or release themselves from something that they knew was not good for them. So, you know, as an adult, what is the benefit of journaling?
Well, I would tell you, like I said, my three favorite things. To answer your question about how journaling can position you as an adult, one of the first things that I realized about journaling was I was able to see and witness growth in my journal. Like, I would go back and read, you know, a year or two back, very similar situation, very different response, because I had evolved as a person. So I was able to not only just see it, but acknowledge it and absorb my growth. I said, hey, this is okay. This is good. You know, you're not breaking out windows and slashing tires. You're just moving on, right? So it provides you a platform to see, to actually see your growth in a tangible, real time. And I think that's amazing. Anytime we can acknowledge that, it's a good thing.
Yes. Now, it was something interesting that you said that really captured my attention. It was, you said that you had to learn how to be still. What is a practice or a procedure that you should embrace when you begin journaling? Is there anything special that you should do? Should you be in a quiet space? You know, should you take a deep breath and let your body and mind guide you as you write through the pages, or get a hot cup of coffee? What would be a really good way to begin your journaling journey?
Well, I think, again, it really depends on the individual. Some people journal out of frustration. So for them, they grab a book, and it doesn't matter where they are. They can leave work after a bad day and be sitting on the train just writing away. So it's really wherever, like I said, journaling meets you where you are. So if you have your journal with you, you can write in it all day if you so choose. If you're using it for reflection, I know a lot of people that read the Bible will then journal, you know, and they'll journal thoughts and things that come up about different passages or, you know, Psalms or what have you in the Bible. So in that particular instance, usually there's some stillness involved where they're reflecting and praying, and then they, you know, write how they feel in the journal. There's no particular way that you have to be with your thoughts. They're yours. So it's whatever makes you comfortable, whatever, you know, flows out of you, whatever that looks like. Because one thing I tell people all the time, do not be attached to what it looks like. It doesn't have to look a certain way. You just have to make sure that you're being authentic and honest about the things that you're sharing in your journal, because these are the things that you will reflect back on. It doesn't make sense to lie to yourself.
Oh, true. Oh, how true that is.
It's just writing. It's just, and for me, when I first started back in the 90s, well, I take that back. I've been journaling since I was in kindergarten. I've had a diary ever since I was little. But when I really started, you know, when I was utilizing it as a healing tool to heal, when I looked at my journal after 96, I read through that journal, and I had actually was able to extract my life plan for the next year.
Wow.
So, I mean, I had dates in there for when I was leaving my job, for what I was going to do next, and that was a really major change in my life when I left California in corporate and went to New York and pursued a career in entertainment, just because of the things that I shared in my journal about what my innermost thoughts and what my desires.
So would journaling be like you opening yourself up to the universe and allowing the universe to hear what really is inside of you?
It can be that as well. I think that a lot of times we get, like, prayer and meditation confused. Prayer, I always look at it as when you're asking, when you're speaking to, you know, God or the universe. Meditation is when you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, whatever comes, whatever you hear or feel in your stillness, whether it's meditation, prayer time, or just being still, sitting, looking at nature out the window, whatever that is, sometimes we'll get thoughts and feelings that come to us that we may or may not want to journal, and that's fine. Sometimes we'll get things that are like our aha moments, things that stick with us, things that resonate with us, and we want to write those things down. And that's what journaling does. It allows a space for that.
Now, would you, in conjunction with journaling, would you recommend that you meditate as well as a part of the process?
I think they go, I think meditation and journaling have had a fantastic relationship for many, many years, simply because journaling turns your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, it makes it tangible. And we know that a lot of times when we put stuff on paper, it starts to come to life. Almost like when you speak something, it comes into existence. Well, my experience has been nothing moves faster than the written word. Like, you put that stuff on paper, and before you know it, it's like, oh, there's a plan. It's come to life. It's almost like, you know, your vision board, like the power of intention and the laws of attraction. But, yeah, one of the things I enjoy about journaling is it makes things tangible. It makes the feeling tangible. It's not fleeing. It's something that you can always go back to and touch and feel and experience again.
Great. I'm asking all these questions because I'm really interested in, you know, I've got pages and papers, and I'll sit down and just kind of like start scratching on paper and everything, whatever it is that's in my head at the time. And like I mentioned earlier, from a little kid, you know, and it's funny you mentioned the word diary, and I always cringed at the word diary because it was like, oh, that means that you're sharing your thoughts. And
right.
But the word journaling sounds so much more exotic.
It does. It sounds mature, you know, like,
yeah,
when you hear diary, it sounds like little girls hiding their books under the mattress type of thing. But journaling just sounds like it's more of a, you know, it's more of a mature act.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, there were times where I would just get notebooks and just write. I mean, I have literally journals and notebooks from the time I was in kindergarten, first grade. It started off with the little diary with the key, you know, remember those?
Yes, I do.
So that's how it started. But the reason that I always was able to go back to that was because I remembered, even as a small person, that whenever I was feeling, and normally it was me being angry at my parents, whatever that was, I can go into my journal and I can write it down and they would never see it. You know what I mean? Like, I can write what I want and I could be authentic and real and angry and whatever that was. And I could write it down and that was it. And sometimes it serves as a mirror. You know, sometimes we'll feel a certain way about something. We go back and look at it and be like, okay, did I really say that? Like, okay, that's not good. That's not my, you know, that's not how I want to show up in the world. So, I mean, there's so many different ways that taking the time to be still and you know, pour yourself out on paper can be beneficial. And like I said, my three favorite things, the growth, clarity, and gratitude, especially the gratitude piece. Journaling is great for gratitude, you know, where you can just get up once a day or whenever. You can do it before bed, just writing down the things that you're grateful for, because, again, you're utilizing an energy to help transform and maintain those things when you're grateful for them and when you speak of them. So, you know, and it could be any little thing. It could be friends. It could be family. It could be work. It could be for the stranger that let you on the bus first, or the person that let you, you know, through the light, or whatever it is. It's just, it's those little things that connect us to the big part of life and keeps us grounded and present, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my favorite things that I've learned to really, really appreciate about journaling, and it's the gratitude piece.
That is excellent, because oftentimes we don't look back and say thank you. And it's, I guess from my perspective, it's not that we're not grateful. It's just, it just kind of gets away from us and goes out of our head once the situation is passed. And the ability to sit back and reflect and be able to say thank you, I think that helps us grow as individuals.
Absolutely. I mean, how are you not thankful for breath? The little things that we take for granted. As long as you're alive, you're going to take another breath. And your breathing is not something that you do on purpose. It's something that you witness, right? So, again, it's not even, it's a gift. It's not yours. It's a gift. So it's those types of things, like when you're, you know, when you feel your heartbeat, you have no control over that. It's a gift. So when we're really grounded in those types of things, it keeps us in that space. You know, if gratitude journaling, I have a lot of my clients do this. There's two exercises that I do that are transformational. One is the 100 smiles exercise. It's listing 100 things that make you smile. You'd be surprised how many people can't get past 25.
Really?
But what it does, by the time you're at 30, 40, now you're looking at the little things that make you smile and happy, the little things that make your heart smile. So it helps you to kind of shift a little bit. You know, and the 21-day journal exercise is just that. I mean, after 21 days, something becomes a habit. So ideally, we want to be in the habit of being grateful every single day.
Yes, indeed.
And that's a great way to do it.
That is really interesting, 100 smiles, 100 things that make you smile.
Oh, yeah. It's 100 smiles, listing 100, and normally my coaching sessions are maybe 3 months, so we do three calls a month, and by the ninth call, they're struggling to get to 100. Like, it's really, but it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it forces you to really think about the little tiny things that we take for granted or the things that we forget make us happy.
That, I think if more people did that, we would have a lot less frustration in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we'd all be walking around smiling, but that's fine, too.
Yes, that is. And what other types of exercises do you give your clients? And what is your client sessions like? And how would somebody be able to contact you to become a client?
Okay. Well, there's a couple of exercises that I do. There's two of my favorite journaling exercises. One is your higher self exercise, where you actually write in your journal to your higher self, and you ask your higher self, what is it that I need to know about this particular thing? And you also write what comes to you as an answer. And sometimes it doesn't come right away, which is fine, but what that forces you to do is just be open to the possibilities all day long, because you never know where clarity or answers come from. It doesn't necessarily come when you're in that still space. Sometimes it comes from, I remember in New York, I just hear random conversations. That was exactly what I needed to hear. Never saw the people again, didn't know who they were, but it was like, wow, that's it. Random. Well, what would appear to be random. So sometimes just being open, when you ask a question, you have to be open to receive the answer. So I like the higher self, because when we really tap into that, it keeps us connected, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other exercise that I like is the inner child exercise, which deals with some of our experiences as, you know, that continue to show up again and again, whether it's in our relationships with friends or work or a better half or whatever. You know, sometimes those things come from an experience that we've had years and years ago that hasn't quite been resolved. So the inner child exercise allows us to ask our inner child, what can I do for you today, type of thing. It's a little more in-depth than that, but basically you're speaking to your inner child. And I will tell you, every time I do that exercise, I'm a different age, because it asks what age you are. You know. And the thing about that is, when you ask the questions, you write with your dominant hand. When you answer the questions, you answer with your non-dominant hand. But you're actually writing down the questions and the answers in your journal.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Share some more. So, you know, because I'm like, this is really interesting. Really.
I mean, well, those are my, I have to say, those are my two favorites. Those are my two favorites. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, there's a couple of other exercises that we do, that I do with clients. So we do a lot of work around the laws of the universe. And mm-hmm. usually that's just writing down some things regarding, you know, clarity. The laws of the universe are, there's a bunch of them, but gravity's mm-hmm. one of them. The law of mantra is another one. Like, there's several of them, and a lot of each law usually comes with an exercise, you know, where you write things down. And like, for example, there's one called the law of receiving, right? So it's pretty basic. You must give in order to receive, right? And then you'll receive based on what you give. It's just reciprocity and karma, basically. Mm-hmm. Give to those who are struggling but make progress. You know, that's a smart give. Because, again, giving to those who struggle but are making progress. So you're not enabling. You're giving to support. Right? But anyway, those types of things. And then a lot of times they'll have exercises where you write things down. You know, you may write down a scenario that you experienced during the day that you didn't handle, you didn't feel like you handled it the way you should, and then we want you to write two or three things that you have done differently, and what would be your end result? Like, what would you have had happen had you handled it in a different way? So, this, I mean, it can be used for all types of tools.
Okay, that was interesting. Now, you talked about gratitude, and I'm really interested in learning more about clarity, because we are in such a constantly moving state, and we are always mm-hmm. on the go. And I don't think we get the opportunity to kind of sit down and gain clarity so that we can move forward. What kinds of exercises do you do or can you do in your journal to help you gain clarity?
A lot of times clarity for me comes from rereading my entries. Sometimes it's me working things out on paper, and then mm-hmm. I get to the point where it's like, oh, that doesn't sound right. Let me try this. You know, or let me try this. Or I can try it out, you know, whether it's an intro or whether I'm doing a speaking engagement or how I want something to look or sound, I can put it in the journal and revisit a couple days later. And if it still makes sense to me, I'll run with it. If it doesn't, then it gives me the opportunity to kind of tweak it. A lot of my clarity comes when I do both, when I do meditation and journaling together. So stillness for me gives me lots of clarity. Because normally that happens when all of those thoughts and stuff get out of my mind, you know. I mean, they're always there, but there's a, you know, you can either acknowledge them or you can just watch them move through your brain, and that's normally what I do. And when you ask for clarity, just know that you're going to get the answer. That's a big part of it, is knowing that the answer's coming. And being okay with it, with whatever the answer is. Because a lot of times we ask for clarity around things that we really don't want clarity around.
Oh, okay. So we're misguided.
Or we want it to look a certain way. you know what
yes.
I mean? And,
mm-hmm.
and that's not what clarity is.
Yes. It's like saying you have on the jeans and you know that they don't fit that well, but yet you're still going to ask somebody, how do I look in these jeans?
Right.
Hoping
Absolutely.
They're going to tell you something different.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Okay. That
or
is interesting.
You want this job that you know you don't want to be, you know, you want a job that you know is not for you. You know, you're just doing it for, you know, whatever the reason, and you're asking for clarity around the job. You already know that you don't want the job. You already know that that job is not going to empower or advance you in any way, shape, or form. So when you don't get the job, you're like, what happened? But already in your spirit, you knew, I didn't want that job.
Okay, and the universe answers the true self as opposed to...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah, that's
Every
really interesting. That's interesting because I found that to be true, that the universe, you ask for something, and whether whether you write it in your journal, you put it on your vision board, or you just kind of just speak it, and then when it comes, oftentimes we're like, but that's not what I wanted, but that's what you asked.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, oftentimes I encourage people, including myself, because, sometimes we want something really bad. We forget that what we want isn't always the best thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of moved away from asking for stuff. I ask that I can be used as a conduit for good, mm-hmm. and light and love. And I ask that I'm okay, just protect my heart, and that I'm okay with whatever your will is. You know, that just, for me, that way I don't have to attach myself to any one thing.
I understand.
You know, and mm-hmm. that ask becomes a habit after a while, and you really do become okay with whatever the answer is. And sometimes clarity comes as heartbreak. Sometimes it comes as, you know, a pink slip. And whatever that looks like, you have to be like, okay, I am going to give credence to the fact that this is what's best for me in this moment. It doesn't feel good, but I know that what's on the other side is exactly where I'm supposed to be. Just like rebirth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We forget that birth is painful, but we go through rebirth through life often, and sometimes it is painful, but there's always life on the other side of it.
Okay. Now, what happens when you struggle against what the universe demands you to have?
Then you struggle. That's really it. In a nutshell, you walk, you know, people that constantly run into brick walls, that's what that is. And I had to learn that the hard way. I had all kind of bumps and knots on my head. I was like, whoa, okay. and I realized that when I was in alignment, that everything kind of just came the way it was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
The relationships were there, the opportunities were there, the contacts were there, the, you know, the money was there, the whatever it was always there. When I wanted to do my own thing, or when I stopped listening, it became havoc. And so I was like, okay, I get it. Let me regroup and get back on course.
Mm.
Yeah, those brick walls are no joke, and they do not give.
No, they don't.
Not give.
No, I've run into a few lately. No, they don't give.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it forces you to regroup. Like, okay, let me revisit this, you know. And one of the other things about the Daily Slice Journal is on each one of the pages is a daily slice, basically. It's like an affirmation of the day. And the reason that I did that is because a lot of times people, so every once in a while, someone, especially if they're new to journaling, may not know what to write, or they might feel like, okay, what am I going to write? But I put a daily slice on each page so that people can have a place to start. Or they can use the daily slice as an affirmation, just something that they reflect on throughout the day, or something that they share, or something that makes them feel good, you know? So the daily slice is just a small sliver of life's cake. So every day, it's just a piece of cake for you to celebrate, which is life.
It's interesting because I found myself, well, it wasn't even in the new year that I started doing this. It was like at the end, coming close to the end of the year, I realized that in order for me to be able to manifest the things that I want to happen, that I have to stop doing things the way that I was doing it and start doing it a different way. And one of the things that I found myself doing, and it's really funny, I found myself, I have a particular song that I play every day, and it's like in my head, it's in my head like crazy. And then I'm like looking at different things on my walls, you know, just different sayings. And I have a picture of a rogue with the arrow going up. So I have all these things around me. And I've noticed that I am far less agitated since I've been doing that.
Yeah. I mean, you really do have to acknowledge what worked for you, you know, what worked for you. And everybody's different. Everyone's space is different. Everyone's filters and experiences are different. But however you have to get there, it's okay. You know, it's okay. But to answer your question, you know, people can contact me through my website, RachelleLeBlanc.com, or they can just shoot me an email, at rachelleblanc@gmail.com. And, you know, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions anyone has about journaling or clarity or balance, meditation, any of that stuff.
And do you do a show?
I love
you. You do a show on Blog Talk as well?
I do, but the show that I do is called The Indie Review, and it is the radio show. And there is another show that I have coming up. It's called Soul Chat. And it really, it will speak to things of the soul, just the very things that we're talking about right now. With some women, well-known women, some of them, that have had experiences and challenges publicly that have been able to utilize these tools to help them get through.
Okay, that's really good. So you offer your services to any individual who is interested in your meditation services, your, you know, as a Reiki master, you do that, as certified life and wellness coach. So you offer yourself to individuals who are interested in that, and you also now have the special section on journaling and how they can use journaling to get them to where they want to be, which
Absolutely.
Is great.
Yeah, I mean, journaling is just one of the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of times the coaching piece and the meditation and Reiki piece are separate, although I've been able to incorporate them more lately together. The journaling piece can be done in person or over the phone. The coaching sessions are usually done over the phone. The Reiki and the meditation classes are normally done in person. But normally with my clients, a part of the 90-day program is we do guided meditation, we do journaling, we create a space for them where they can find what's necessary every day. Daily to find balance, and then amongst all of that, we have conversations about the things, you know, stuff, life stuff, and how, and I partner with them in moving through that stuff to get them to where they want to be.
Oh, so you're like a really hip and cool therapist.
Without the couch.
Yes.
Yeah, minus the couch.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's excellent. And I mean, there's one thing, you know, that a lot of people don't understand, or they really don't have a clear definition of what a Reiki master is.
Reiki, yeah.
Reiki.
So
yes.
Reiki is an, it's been around for thousands of years. It came out of Japan. And it is, it's just really about balancing your energy. You know, you can do chakra balancing through Reiki. If nothing else, it is complete and total relaxation that promotes healing in your body. Some people schedule sessions like 2 and 3 at a time because a lot of things come up when you're on the table, right, and things that people sometimes want to address and readdress until it's pretty much gone. But I have clients that just like to be still and listen to soft music, and they, you know, it's kind of like a healing hand. You know, they want that. They like the feeling of someone, you know, touching them and the warmth of that, the love and light that comes through me as a Reiki master. And there's some people that just want the energy balance, you know, like they want their chakras opened and all of that. So everyone has their own reason for doing it. But in a nutshell, Reiki is a form of relaxation. It promotes healing. Because I'm a coach, I add my own little spin to it, which includes, you know, discussing things that come up. We do daily affirmations during the Reiki sessions, and we normally start them off with a guided meditation.
Okay, that's really interesting. Now, one thing we did not discuss is where can we find the book?
Oh, well, it's funny you should ask. The book is actually on Amazon.com.
Okay.
It's on Amazon.com, and if you Google like your Daily Christ Journal or my name, it'll come up. And it also, if you go to the website rachelleblanc.com, or to the Facebook page Cake Every Day at facebook.com, the link is there as well.
Okay, great. That is excellent. I mean, it's a great book. We want to be able to get a hold of it. I know.
Yeah.
I will.
Tell you, I will tell you, you and your listeners get the book, and I will put together a call just for you guys to go through some of the exercises. We'll do it. I'll put together either a Google Hangout or a journaling call just for your group.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
I know a group of women just had a vision board party on Friday, in fact. I missed it, but...
Nice.
And they were talking about, I spoke to some of the ladies, and they said they were talking about journaling in addition to the vision board. So I'll throw that out there at them and let them see, you know.
Absolutely.
Great. That is amazing. That's excellent. So I, as always, you are always welcome to come back onto the show anytime. I would love to have you because you are phenomenal.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank
you're
you for
welcome.
Having me.
Yes,
and like I said, if anyone has any questions, please feel free to reach out, you know.
Okay, great. And I will be in contact with you because I'm really interested in some of your services as well for myself.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, definitely. And we'll be in touch. And again, I thank you for having me, and I so appreciate your show and your platform and everything that you do, everything that you bring to light on your show. So really, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you very much, and we are always honored to have you, and it's a pleasure. And my doors are open. The microphone is always open for you.
Don't give me a mic, girl, because you know. Mic. Going down if I have a mic.
No problem. You have an amazing evening, and we will be in touch, and my listeners will be hearing from you again.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You guys have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye. Everyone, that was the amazing, wonderful, phenomenal Rachel LeBlanc. We just enjoy having her. She has been so supportive to the show, and you have been involved in many of her endeavors through some of her clients who have been on the show. And I have to tell you, it is really good to be able to have the opportunity to get to know how you can become that diamond you were meant to be. And that's what we're about in 2014, you shining bright like a diamond. Every opportunity we can to show you how you can do it, we're gonna put it in front of you so that you can go out there and create the life that you really want to have for yourself and your family. So all the things that we're doing here on the show is to manifest that for you and your family. So just, you know, keep your ears open. We're always going to have new and innovative, talented, creative individuals who are going to come forth and bring that information to you. So this is just another opportunity for you to embrace the diamond in you and let it shine brightly. On Wednesday, we're going to have another show, and it's going to be Dr. Linda. She's going to be on the show, and she is going to be discussing how do you love a black man. Now, loving a man in general can have its own share of issues. I'll say issues, but intricacies would be better. And learning how to love one that is a man of color can even be especially interesting as well. She's going to have a male's perspective on that, and I think we should know that a little bit. I mean, I know I should know something at this point, but I'm going to listen to Dr. Linda because she can probably open my mind up and let me see where I may have gone wrong or maybe going wrong. So join us on Wednesday at 8 p.m., and we will be back at you again then. Until then, please be safe and be careful out here. This weather is really dangerous, and you have to be really careful at all times. Until then, we're going to wish you well, and we will speak to you soon. Thank you.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.